So I want to show you a little bit of a clip of some of our reactions to eating some of these fancy foods.
Eli, what's the problem you face?
I just ate a Tesla.
That serves some exotic fancy foods, and yes, a lot of us tried the ox testicles. Probably never gonna try those ever again. And you know, one of the things that a lot of people said, are you guys excited to see some animals? We were definitely excited to see some animals, and we were very fortunate. We did get a chance to see a lion walking right next to our van. It was pretty a unique experience. It was really awesome. But one of the more fun experiences that we got a chance to do was we got a chance to go walk along this river, and it was crocodile time. So, I don't know if you heard it, but there was a loud crunch in during that time, and that's what caused the extra loud because it was just such a unique experience that we had never heard someone crunching through bone like that before. But it was an amazing time. All laughs aside, we got a chance to really connect with some of the people, and Dylan wanted to share, as part of this intro, some of the connections that he was able to make.
All the people in Africa, like, I never thought how much of a family it felt in both Kenya and Mozambique. So, no matter who we were with, they made us feel welcome, whether that being Pastor Daniel and his family, the Giotos, and or Paul and his brothers. We've made so many amazing connections with everyone in Africa that it made me feel so happy to be there.
That we got to connect with our family, especially in Mozambique, was the first day that we were there, we got a chance to go to a funeral. You know, and that's a time where people can really connect, is at, you know, weddings and funerals. So we got a chance to go to a funeral, and right away they asked us if we wanted to sit really close, right? To the point where they wanted us to sit at these tables that were on the platform where the speaker was going to officiate the service. So we said, oh, well, I don't know if we feel comfortable about sitting that close. So they sat us right behind the family. And it's like, in my heart, I was like, why are we sitting so close? We don't even know the person that passed away. We only really know Apostle Bosco and Pastor Daniel. We could just sit in the back and be totally fine. So I was sitting with the Lord later on, and I felt like he said, the reason that they had you sit so close is because they consider you family. So you're sitting with the family because you are their family, and that's why you're here, to visit your family and to be with your family. And so the rest of the time that we were in Mozambique, we got a chance to spend with Bosco and Daniel's extended family, because everybody was there for the funeral. So we got a chance to really experience being a part of our Mozambican family, and it's because of Christ that we're able to have family across the world. And it was neat. So you see this picture of Dylan and I, we got a chance to spend the night at Pastor Daniel's house. And so that was just one of the really neat connections that we were able to make, you know, and to be able to say, when we got there, he goes, welcome home. Welcome to your home. When you're in Mozambique, this is your home. And so just a unique experience that I felt really personally touched by, and I felt very thankful to the Lord that because of his son and what he did, that we have family across the world. So before we left, we shared a service with everybody about planting seeds. So that's some of the theme of today, is we're going to share with you some of the seeds that were planted. Some of those seeds actually were planted by church members in our hearts as we prepared to go. So I'm going to pass this off to Eli, who's going to come up and share a little bit about one of the seeds that was planted in him that he got to experience while he was in Africa.
Hi. Jumbo. Good morning. I'm Eli. I think pretty much everyone here knows me. I'm really excited to share what I have for you all today. Yeah, I'm just gonna kick it off. So this all started before the trip, actually. It was the service where we did the skit. I gave my testimony. We sang Deep Down. And after that service, we had prayer time. And a lot of people came up and blessed us, which was great. We had a lot of words that really spoke to me, but the one that spoke to me most, and I didn't realize it at the time, was the prayer of Mason Hino. So what he prayed for me, he got a picture of a pineapple, right? And he told me he got a picture of pineapple because our time in Africa would be sweet. And you know, I was like, when I got that, I was like, oh, thanks. Like, yeah, we're gonna have a sweet time. But I didn't think too much of it. Yet. I didn't think too much of it yet. Anyway, so I want to preface this by saying I've noticed in my life I can tend to make a lot of excuses for myself. In my daily life, I'll be like, oh, I'm too tired to do chores when my mom asks me, or, you know, I'm too busy to, like, do boring stuff. Or in my spiritual life, I'll be like, oh, I'm too busy to read the Bible, or I'm not feeling it right now, even though it would only take 5 minutes. And when we're going to this trip, because I'm in a group setting, a lot of times I notice I can use the excuse of I'm not experienced enough, in order to, like, you know, like, if I don't want to pray, like, oh, you got it, like, you know what you're doing. So going fast forwarding to Mozambique, obviously going in, we knew I have to speak, but as I'm preparing to speak, I'm so sorry. Oh, man. So, as I was preparing to speak, I was lacking confidence in what I was going to say because I noticed I was using the crutch of I'm not experienced enough again, where I felt like my message had to be really good because, like, these people were expecting something good because we came from America, and I just felt like what I had to say wouldn't translate or carry over very well. But then I think it was, what day did we go to the pineapple farm? Thursday? Friday. We went to Apostle Bosco's farm on Friday, and it was a pineapple farm. And this was like, as soon as I saw the pineapple farm, I was like, and just thinking back to those words from you, Mason, like, that's, that's amazing what God's already doing in you. That really helped me on the trip because from that, the Lord, He gave me two main points. First one, stop making excuses. What I got also was... When I'm speaking, like, I'm not the one speaking. It's God speaking through me, just like He spoke through Mason to me. So, as I was preparing to share, just having that in my head really helped me where, you know, it's not what I say, it's what God says through me. So, thank you so much for your words, Mason. Thank you for listening.
So part of our service is we have really only three people that are scheduled to come up and share, but then the rest of us are supposed to discern if we're supposed to go up as well. So thanks for kicking us off, Eli. I felt like I was supposed to follow that because I had the same thing of taking the church, taking you guys with us. Actually, mine was for staying here in the back, and I listened to her testimony on John's podcast. And she shared about an experience where she was at the Harvest Crusade, and some lady, that was the lady sitting in front of her, just happened to turn around and start talking to her. And the thing she said, it just, I don't even think it was about what she said, it was about her feeling seen, like God sees me, like this lady turned around, didn't even know me, and started having this conversation with me, and how that like changed the trajectory of her life. And so I had that in me, and let me explain what happened. So we were split up on the Sunday in Mozambique. We went to three different churches. And so the church that I was at, I spoke, and we did a skit, we did different things. But I felt a couple days before that the Lord said, you're supposed to offer ministry time, like prayer time. Because that's something our church brings. And so I thought, okay, that'd be good. So I talked to the pastor about it, and he said, yeah, we can fit that in. And in my mind, I saw like what was going to happen, and I saw like 10 people coming up, and I'm like, okay, well, we have five of us, we can split up, and we can do that. So fast forward, we get through the whole service, and at the end, the pastor says, okay, we're going to invite people up for prayer. And this is in Mozambique, so they speak Portuguese. So there's a translator sitting next to me, and he's like, oh, the pastor is inviting people up for prayer. And I'm like, okay, cool. And then like more than half of the church comes up. So there's like about 50 people. And so it's about 100 people in the church service. And I'm like, oh no. But it was cool. Eli and Jaden, I told them, you guys can pair up and then go together and have some comfort. And Damon and Dylan, and I was going to go by myself. But it was cool because then Eli and Jaden were like, all right, let's go. Like, they just split up. They knew we had all these people. I mean, they made like three rows of people. So we just prayed, and we just went down the line and down the line. And you have to just trust that the Spirit's getting the words across, because most of them don't know much English. So it was cool, but I got to this one girl, maybe, I don't know, not good with guessing ages, but 12 to 14, like, not old, but not super young either, and she had come up for prayer, but when I was praying for her, I felt like really strongly, like, oh wow, she has like supernatural faith inside. So I prayed that over her, and then after I'm done, I go, do you understand English? She said, no. Okay, and then I just kept going. We had to finish. But then I sat back down, and I'm like, I need to talk to her. And so I looked, and I spotted where she was. And then so service had one more element. And then I said, I need to. Like, I had this, like, I had to go talk to her. And so I grabbed one of the interpreters. I said, okay, can you come with me? I need to talk to this girl. And so she was kind of coming out, getting ready to leave. And I just stopped her, and I said, I shared what I got, that the Lord highlighted to me that you have supernatural faith, and he wanted you to know that. And at first she was kind of like, and the people around her were kind of like, what's going on? But it was what I heard saying story, like, what if I'm that one that's supposed to talk to her that's going to shift the direction of her life? What if I don't do that? That's not fair, right? So I did that. It's kind of awkward. I think I approached a little too fast, and like out of nowhere, I'm like, I think I just made her feel really threatened almost. But it was cool. I really felt by the time I shared what was going on, she was in shock a little bit, but I just have to trust that the Lord's going to use that somehow in her life. So saying thanks for sharing your story, and thanks for going with us on the trip through testimonies. And testimonies, they come in, but then they're with us for a reason, and we can take those with us other places. So there may be a moment or two where it's quiet, because we're going to be, discerning who's next, but sit in the discomfort of quietness.
Morning. Yeah, so as Uncle Kyle mentioned, we split up into three teams to go to three different churches, and I went to speak. Before we left, we were discerning and trying to figure out who's going to speak. And, you know, I kind of wanted to speak, and so I was like, okay, if I did speak, like, how long would I talk for, and like who would go with me? I was asking all these questions, and so when I say these questions, like, okay, well, I'm going now, because I pretty much just volunteered myself. But, you know, I was glad. I was happy. I was excited to go, and, like, you know, I knew that I wanted to speak, but then we get there, and it's like, okay, well, The culture shock for me, I was like, oh, I don't know if my illustrations are going to get through. I don't know if anything I say is really going to connect. But, you know, it is about faith, and so the day's coming closer, and we didn't even know where we were going. It was me, my dad, and Uncle Henry, and, you know, we were you know, one day it's like, okay, you're going here, and the next day it's like, oh, you might not go there, and you might go here, and so we don't really know where we're going until the morning of. We were going to go to, I think his name was Pastor Kuma's church, but we had never even met him. We didn't know, like, who he was. We never, like, said anything to him. We didn't know what he looked like. And then day comes, and it's because of transportation issues, we're not going to go there. We're actually going to go to Pastor Joseph's church. And we had visited Pastor Joseph's church, like, the first day we got there. So, all right, well, I guess we're going. Like, I have my stuff ready. But the thing was, too, I didn't really have my stuff ready. Because the night before, we were supposed to get back a little early, because we were getting back late, like 9, 10. We were supposed to get back early Saturday night to have an opportunity for all of us to get ready for Sunday morning. And we get back at like 10. And then, like, we get back at 10, and I'm, like, doing my stuff, and then all of a sudden, I wake up and, like, drool on my face. It's like midnight, and like, okay. I was trying to get ready. I had some stuff, but then it's like, okay, well, now it's like midnight, and I'm tired. And I'm not going to hear it. I'm just going to let God speak to me when I get there. But I was probably just tired. And so we go, right? And so, like, we had, like, just decided we were going to go there. So we get there, and it's like, it was amazing. When we get there, it's like, wow, and people are worshiping, and it's just, it's amazing. And so, you know, I kind of, like, got my suit on, and I'm like, okay, well, I don't really have too much, so let's just see where this goes. And so I get up there, and I'm speaking, and I'm like, I get to the end of my notes, and I said, okay, well, I don't know what to do now. So I just start going, and I start speaking from my heart, and it's like, okay, I don't know. I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell if what I was saying was really connecting with everybody, just because, I mean, I just couldn't tell. It was hard for me to not get discouraged, right? And so, like, in my mind, I was like, oh, we're not even, like, supposed to be here. It's like, maybe we're supposed to go somewhere else. Like, I didn't even know we were going to, I don't even know Pastor Joseph that well, so it's like, you know, I don't know, but then I come to the end, and it's like, I was also including my dad in my message. I was going to have him share a testimony at the end. I knew it was about how I was born. I never really heard the story, or I just didn't remember. This, like, kind of relates to what I'm talking about, so yeah, go ahead. And so he starts talking, and, you know, yeah, it was really impactful for that church. I couldn't tell if they were really connected with what I was saying, but when I was sitting off the side and observing the congregation, it was clear that they were really, like, focused, and they really were connecting with what my dad was saying. And we get to the end, and, you know, I grew up, and they always tell me, like, oh, it's a miracle that I was born. And they were like, yeah, okay, like, of course you say that, right? It's like, you're my parents, but now, to hear the story and then to see how they really connected, it was really cool. Yeah, it was like this big reveal at the end of, like, oh, this kid that I'm talking about, that's him. And it's like this huge thing. And, like, yeah, so it was just a really cool testimony about the way that I was born and, like, how it really was a miracle. And then after service ended, we went to Pastor Joseph's house. And at Pastor Joseph's house, we didn't know this, but they had been struggling with this for years. Like, we're trying to get pregnant. They were trying to get pregnant for years, and they hadn't been able to. And then we show up to a church that we weren't even supposed to be at until, like, the day of. And then, you know, we go to their house and we share more, and then we end up praying for them. And, you know, normally I'm very cautious when I, like, declare things over people, because, like, yeah, I want to be wrong, and I want to be sure, like, I'm really sensing the Lord. But when we were there, I was really sensing, okay, I'm going to declare that, you know, they're going to have a baby. And obviously, I don't know, it's only been, like, a month, not even, but I really did feel that. So it was just this amazing divine appointment that God had for us to be at this church, and even be at their house after. Being at their house, right, like, I didn't know we were going to do that. I was just, oh, I'll get my message, they're going to take me back, we're going to have lunch, and then say goodbye. But because, you know, we ended up a little early, they took us back to their house, and we were able to do this. And so God really did orchestrate something. And, like, when he orchestrated, I had very little to do with it. But I didn't know where I was going. My message was, like, half done. But God still made a way for him to work, and he was just willing. So it was just really cool what God did. Just waiting the whole week, figuring out where we were going to be, and then we ended up deciding what we were going to do. I mean, that's what God does. So it was just really cool. That was our last day in Mozambique, and it was just a really cool way to end up our time there. So yeah, I'm really grateful. It was really cool. I don't very often declare like I did when we were there, but it was, you know, it was a spirit moving. So yeah.
Yeah, it just seemed like there were a lot of really divine appointments like that. And so, actually, you guys get to see a divine appointment right now, right? Like, I'm sure most of you guys weren't expecting to hear that Eric got a chance to share at a church, right? So I think it's time to hear from him and himself. So we're going to bring him back. And he's going to share a little bit about an experience that we had that really impacted him. And for me, it was really a blessing to be able to have Eric come. You know, some of you is, well, probably not used to seeing him up front. You know, he's on our strike team. He does a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff. But it was really a cool experience for me to be able to see him stepping out and stepping into times of doing ministry, speaking, praying for people, doing those types of things. It was really a blessing for me to be able to go on this trip with Eric and see that. And we became food buddies, so every time that we went out to eat, we always sat next to each other and got to experience the exotic foods together. So, here's Eric.
In Mozambique, they say bon dia. That means a morning in Mozambique, so there you go, Jaden. I wanted to share about an experience I had that affected me in Kenya, Nairobi especially. So we visited this Christian-based organization called Made in the Streets. And what they do is they go through the streets of the slums in Nairobi and minister to each other, kids, mainly teenagers, I guess. So their main mission is to just love and serve kids of Nairobi in the love of Jesus Christ. So our second day in Kenya, we went to the center, Eastleigh. So what they do there is, I guess that's the first stage of where they take the kids down through the streets. So what they do is, they walk through the streets of the slums, and they get to know the teenagers, and they provide like first aid, they give them food, or they even sometimes give them a little lotion or something. And yeah, here's some slides of the slums. After a few weeks, or maybe a month of getting to know these kids, they'll invite a few back to the center and ask them if they want to participate in their program there. So I guess on certain days early on in the program, we have certain activities for the kids. And the day that we were there happened to be soccer day. So we had to walk through the streets of the slums, maybe half a mile to a mile away, to the soccer field, which was guarded. I didn't know this until Damon mentioned to me. No one could actually get on that field with the mission violent. So they had the Made in the Streets kids there, and another, they call them another gang from that slums, they call them bases over there, play against the kids in Made in the Streets. So during the soccer match, I just noticed a bunch of kids, and they're all like teenagers, like teenagers, that's really mid age. Just, there was some social workers from the center there, and they just started yanking these kids off the field like one by one. And they would take them off to the side, and they would like start patting them down. And we were told before that a lot of these kids were addicted to drugs and alcohol and stuff. I didn't really know what was going on, and I kind of figured it out. They were actually taking their kids and stashes off of them. They had fabric that was soaked in jet fuel, that they call it huffing, and suck it up through their mouth, and they get high and whatnot. So these kids start rolling around on the ground, and they're crying, and they're like, well, are they crying because they're getting their stash taken away from them? or they crying because I think once you get caught doing something like that, you can't go back to the center. So, I don't know. Yeah, I was just like, just taking it back and out of it. So, the reason I bring that up is because I kind of know addiction. I've seen it. I've had friends die from it. And so, my friends or people I knew that were doing these drugs, you know, they were doing it recreationally or just for party and stuff. But they were like late teens or the 20s, right? And so they did it until I don't know, finally got a hold of them and they were addicted to this stuff. I just couldn't shake it. But when I see these kids, these teenagers doing it, that really struck me because they're not doing it, they weren't doing it for fun or to party. These kids were doing it to survive. And they were doing it because just so they wouldn't get hungry. And I don't know how often they were doing it, when the last meal was or when the next meal was, but yeah, just to see that. Yeah, really good. Yeah, they were really young and they're doing that to live, basically. So I really touched them. So thank you.
Hello, I'm Jaden. And that time that at the ministry, Made in the Streets at Eastleigh, that also was where like God showed me the most and where like that's the most memorable thing for this trip. But God showed me a different side of the ministry that Uncle Eric saw, because we each saw different aspects. For me, although I knew there were drugs and there was gangs and there was weapons and the streets were, like, describing it is not really, it does not make up for what it actually looks like. There's trash thrown everywhere. There's kids sitting on containers of jet fuel, like, watching you on the street as you're walking by. And there's people, like, doing just horrible things there. And it's indescribable. You really have to go there if you really want to understand. But interestingly, when I was there, I was not thinking about that. That only came after reflecting on what I was seeing. When I was there, I was actually focused on the kids. I was connecting with them like the way you would connect with someone you just met that you want to be friends with. Even though they were addicted to drugs and they probably had stuff in their pockets I didn't even know that they had, I was just talking to them. I was getting to know them. We were talking about, oh yeah, you should come to America. And they were asking my name. They're like, are you Chinese? Because apparently there's a lot of Chinese people there. And then, I didn't see what was going on. It was to the point where I was just walking with this like group of four rough looking kids around me. And we're lagging behind the main group. And then Uncle Damon runs over to me and goes, hey, you want to get caught here in the back? You got to stay with us, stay with the group. It's dangerous out here. But the gist of it was, don't get behind because you don't know what's going to happen. You have to stay with the group. But I was so focused on staying with those kids that I lost sight of the main group. But what I realized was happening is God opened my eyes to see past their physical appearance and past their physical struggles and what's going on in the physical realm, and to look at them, look at their heart, look at their spirit, and see that they're just kids like us and they're seeking to make relationships and connect with us. And what they really are seeking is God. And even though they might be stuck in these struggles, it's more important for me not to focus on their struggles, but to focus on them and to get to know them and make those relationships and connections. Bring catalyst and magnetic culture to them and let them be blessed by it. So although the drugs and the horrible things did impact me, I think what impacted me more was seeing God's heart for these people. And that's what I want to share with you guys. So I plan to go back because I want to see them again and I want to go back there.
Hello again. There's this one part that I thought Jaden was going to talk about. So there's this one kid at Eastley. He comes up to me, Jaden, and Eli, and he points at Eli and goes, "You American." He points at me and Jaden and goes, "You Chinese." I thought Jaden was going to say that. Okay, so Maiden Street doesn't just have Eastley. They have two other camps. They have three camps in total. So the first one is Eastley, and they find the kids that do drugs and take them in to get them to stop. The second one is a learning center where they try to get the kids to go all the way through sixth grade in 3 years. And then the last one is a skill center where they have the kids like pick a career, like culinary, catering, auto mechanics, wood shop. And then just seeing like the kids at the skill center and thinking those were the same kids that were at Eastley, like seeing the impact Made in the Streets had on the kids, like, was very impactful, because the kids at the skill center didn't seem anywhere near like the kids at Eastley. Like, they kind of felt like normal kids, like they haven't done drugs, although they have in the past. Like, thinking they were the same kids as the ones that like sniffed glue and sniffed jet fuel and did drugs. It was like just cool to see the impact that Made in the Streets has on the kids and all that. So.
Yeah, I think that was one of the most encouraging things that we were able to see in the different places that we went, is just the heart for the next generations. And the ministries and the people that we were able to meet with, that was really a lot of their experience, was taking the younger generations, kids like the kids that we saw in the streets, kids that are growing up with little hope, little skills, little education, and then helping to give them a hope and a purpose in the future. And then showing them that really Jesus is that hope. So it was really cool to see the different ministries. Main Streets was just one of them. We got to see a few different ones and participate and see what they're doing. And really, we just left Africa with a lot of hope, because God is really doing a lot of things in Africa. You know, one of the things that people asked me about before heading into going on this trip was like, isn't it kind of out of your comfort zone? Like, isn't it like, you're used to this, and then you're gonna go to Africa, it's like totally different culturally, economically, just everything. And I had to think about it, I was like, yeah, but Matt's going. So it was actually kind of encouraging to me, because, so for those of you that don't know, like 20 years ago, Matt and I got to go on a different mission trip. We got to go to Japan, which is a totally different type of comfort zone. But when we went to Japan, one of the things that we got a chance to experience was an onsen, right? And talk about stepping out of your comfort zone, it's being naked with a bunch of other people, right? So we go to the onsen, and, you know, Matt is a young, like, he's like Dylan's age at that time. And so we're very self-conscious about going to the onsen together. And here comes Matt with goggles, ready to jump in. Share about an experience that he had he doesn't have a really big comfort zone like I, or, you know, his comfort zone is a little bit wider than mine, so he's going to share about how even that got stretched on this trip for him.
By the way, Damon, the onsen is not an embarrassing moment, that's like a badge of honor. Like, on my tombstone, it better say, got goggles, basically, like, I was super proud of that, so I don't know about comfort zone, but I was very in my zone. So, hi everyone, I'm Matt. This is my first international trip since when I was Dylan's age, which was like 18 years ago. I was around his age, but so I just want to speak about comfort zone and stepping out of your comfort zone. When I went on this trip, it was funny. So, you know how my dad is, like, you know, he prompts you and sometimes he just brings stuff on you and you don't even know it. So like, he was talking to Jerry over here, the Benuyas, and he was just like, hey Jerry, like, what do you think about going to Africa? And then he saw me coming, and it's like, yeah, Matt might be coming too. And I was like, where am I going? I was like, what? Like, and then Jerry's like, oh, you're going too. And I was like, no, this is the first time he's asking me, just like you, Jerry. But the reason why I felt called to go, and it mainly had to do with the fact that I felt like I was a perfect bridge from Garrett's age, who's 19, to Damon, who's like in his early 40s. So I felt like I was a perfect person to just bridge that gap and be able to talk to like anyone of a member. And the one thing I will say is that being the bridge and being the glue guy of the team, it definitely stretched me to, this trip, like, it definitely stretches you to be outside your zone, but in my role, it was slightly different because I felt like I had to be a model non-onsen citizen to the four boys, and I gotta say, it was a huge honor and blessing seeing Dylan, Eli, Jaden, and Garrett just do the things that they did. When it comes to Dylan, there was this one time where he just got like 15 bug bites in one night, and Dylan's heart was just really to just see the safari, and partially he wasn't able to experience it fully because he just kept on thinking about the 8 bites he had on one arm and the 7. But seeing him persevere through that and see the glass half full instead of the glass half empty at such a young age, being a middle schooler, like, it definitely encourages you to, you know, just live your life and just don't think about the things that are negative, instead think about the things that are positive. And he did that, and for Dylan, that was special to me. Eli, just being able to just reach out to the kids and just, you know, be his goofy self and just be willing to just go for it. And, you know, when you get older and stuff, like, as you get older, right, like, you're not willing to take those risks and stuff, but Eli, he did it all. He was willing to go on all. He didn't go on the trip with us on the back of the pickup truck because he was like, I'm not doing 2 hours. That's crazy. If it's 10 minutes, fine, but 2 hours, that's crazy. Oh, and by the way, I was the ringleader. That's it. And because I saw, like, in Africa, like, they just pack people. Like, there's a picture of 20 people standing in the back of the pickup truck. So when I saw that at the funeral, I was like, I'm doing that. I need to do that. There's no time I will ever be able to do that. And it was like 2 hour long car trip. And I was like, I don't care who's coming with me. Forget you all. I'm going. Whoever wants to come, you can come in with me. And then Jaden's like, yeah, I'm going to do it. And then Dylan's like, I'm coming. And then we just did it. But and then just seeing Jaden just no fear in midst about all those kids and all those people that, you know, just through the streets and the slums he's interacting with. I wish you saw the picture, him and Henry and like 20 kids are just surrounding them. And that just speaks about Jaden's heart. And, you know, Garrett, I don't know what your plans are, but pastor, speaking, something, it's definitely in you. And being able to see that, it was special for me to watch. And I'm not excluding the adults either. Like Eric, Damon was his food buddy. I was his plane buddy. We sat in multiple, and Eric's perfect partner, you guys. If you ever want extras, airplane food, Eric's the man.
Oh my, I can't do this. It doesn't work for my stomach. Oh, bring it over here, cheesecake. Oh, bring me the cheesecake, like, yeah. And, you know, who would ever thought a Dodger and a Giants fan sitting next to somebody having a good old time? But, you know, seeing Eric just like, this is his first time being on a plane internationally, and, you know, all the doubts and fears that he had going into the trip, like, just seeing how God worked through him too, and just seeing that for myself, like, so, my thing to everyone is, do not put a limit on yourself on seeing what God is doing outside of our country, because it could be life-changing for you. I don't care if you're 100-year-old, I don't care if you're 1-year-old, like, it could be a life-changing experience, so, don't put that limit on yourself. Just be obedient and just go for it. And trust me, the Lord will meet you where you are. Thanks.
I'm back. Okay, so I'm going to expand on what Matt said about my bug bites. So I got 14 bug bites in one night. And so after that night, the next day, we went to an island called Crescent Island, and there were a lot of animals on the island, but the devil wanted me not to enjoy the animals because he distracted me with my bug bites. So it was really hard to enjoy all the animals on the island, and that was one of the things that I like really, really wanted to do, like go see all the animals. And it was just hard for me because the bug bites distracted me from the big picture. So the lesson I have to tell you all is that the devil will try to distract you from the enjoying things and doing what God wants you to do. So be aware of that and ask God what he wants you to do in those situations.
Okay, so we're gonna bring this somewhat to a close. We got a little bit more, but it was very interesting to be on a trip that wasn't as much about doing. I'm more of a doer, like let's do tasks, let's do projects. And we knew going in that this was gonna be a relational trip. It was about building relationships. We haven't been to those countries for, I think, maybe 8 years. And so, I'm like, okay, that'll be good. But really for me, it was really special to be able to experience that way and not have the pressure of what do we have to do. And there came a point, though, where I felt like, is this really all it's about? Or is this really impactful? And then Mike Kyoto shared something with us. And then we actually had him record it. And so I'm going to share this, a short video. And he really talks about really the kind of impact you have but just by being. Just by being there. So just listen to this video from Mike, and then
okay, go. Hi guys, Mike Yono. I just want to share a little bit on my heart on how valuable it is to have short team missionaries and mission teams come out in the field. I'm based in Nairobi, Kenya. We just had a team from Catalyst Church come and bless the people of Kenya. We went our country to Western Kenya and all over. We were in churches and street ministry. We did a lot of things. And a lot of people say, well, what difference are we making? How are we making an impact? Is it wise for us to spend our resources sending a team in the only short term? And I want to let you know, from my perspective as a full-time missionary out in the field, the answer to that is a definite yes. It makes a huge difference. One of the things that I think a lot of people don't understand is that they always feel like, oh, they gotta do some major thing, or they've gotta like build a classroom or a building, or be a dentist or a doctor or have some skills. And they say, well, you know, I'm just a normal person, what can I do? And I'll usually say, well, do you have a heart? Do you have arms? Are you able to love and hug people? If you there's a place for you in the mission field. I don't know if you can truly understand what how the people feel when they're visited here, but just going, especially up country, into a village and visiting them, making them feel special, the one thing that it really gives them, beyond just the material, some of the, you know, the projects that you could do, or plastering, or painting, it gives them hope. It unlocks something in their heart that can change their destiny for the rest of their life. So I do want to let you know, I mean, we can go more and more, and I can preach on for hours and hours, but in my opinion, there's a great value in short-term missions. So I invite you, if you have a heart to come to Africa or to another country or another city or another state to do missions, I invite you to try it out, check it out, and know that God can use you as a vessel to make a difference in other people's lives. And a lot of people say, well, I feel like I'm the one that God bless. And oftentimes, that is true. The missionary that's on the short-term mission trip, oftentimes will come back and feel like they're the ones that get ministered to, and they're the ones that God bless. But certainly, you are making a difference. And most importantly of all, when you come out, you give God glory. So please consider it. If it's something that's been on your heart, talk to your leadership about it, and we welcome you. So God bless you. Thank you for letting me have a couple minutes of your time. Signing off, Dr. Mike. Okay.
I think I can speak for the team that we all experienced that. Even sometimes we just spent a few hours in different places, but it really felt like those people felt seen. And it's kind of sad to say that I didn't see the value in that before. I thought, that's okay, but what does that really do? But really, just being on this type of trip was really eye-opening for me. And I know that God used all of our interactions in some way. So thank you for your support. And I do want to share that we had an abundance of support. And so we were actually able to give, I think it was about $10,000 extra to different projects. And so we kind of, as a team, discerned, we kind of listed all, these are all the ones that were kind of brought up to us as we just interacted with different people. And we wanted to involve the young guys too, to be like, hey, what do you think we should be doing with these extra funds? And so as a group, we kind of voted, right? We kind of tallied up, and then we had some that were definitely highlighted, and then we had a six-way tie for third. But it was really cool because we were able to just give, I think, what was appropriate for all of those different ministries. So that was because of you guys too and your support, so thank you for that. I'm going to share a video in just a second, but I want to show, like, can you show those pictures of the village? Like, one thing we did was this house right here, we gave just $1,000, but that helped to plaster, and some of the boys got to participate in it, but we plastered the inside of their house. This family, their house burned down because they had some solar powers and their batteries, and they forgot to disconnect, and the batteries overcharged, and fire started. They lost everything. They did nothing. And so that's this couple right here. And we were able to just do a little token. It felt like, okay, can we give more? But they wanted to meet us. And so we went inside their house, and they were just so blessed that we were able to help them and participate with them. And so it was really, just really special. But to expand just a little bit more, this village, this is, and one of our drivers, he's such a cool guy, Paul, this is his village, and he's making a difference there. They just got electricity like 6 months ago. It's like, what? Like, that doesn't make sense. But because of that, now they can have pumps for wells. They don't have to go to the river anymore and walk a long ways to get water that could be dirty and contaminated. And so he's just a special guy. We supported him, and I think we'll have ongoing support for him. But it was just so cool that we were able to do that. And we walked through their village, and we're able to do house visits and pray for people. And it was just really special. Did you want to share anything about that, Barry? No. There was just a, it was a really cool moment where he was able, Barry, Pastor Barry was able to bless this one young boy who became an orphan, him and his siblings. This family who is, we would consider them dirt poor. It was a room probably the size of most of our bedrooms. And this family said, we need to take these kids in, these three kids, because their parents died. And so now there's 10 kids sleeping in this one room. But that family said, no, we have to help them. And it was really special to see Pastor Barry just really, he felt something for this kid. Like, I need to pray for this kid. Like, his future can be different. And I thought the way you prayed for him is like, that did something for that kid. That set him on a different course. But I just want to challenge us all, because I came back that, so I guess that was last week, that first week back, like, looking at my first world problems and being like, kind of just torn inside of like, why am I complaining about, oh, this thing that's uncomfortable, or this, I don't have the right choices, or the food, or this, or that. And it was hard last week. Like, I was just being torn in different ways. And, you know, a trip like this will have that kind of impact, but it's not just for us. It's really for all of us. Like, really, what are the things that really matter? And we saw on this trip, over and over, it's really expanding. It's obviously, there's health, but family, health, those are the things that are really important. And so, thank you for supporting us and for allowing us to be on this trip. And it meant so much, not just to us, but it meant so much for, especially Pastor Daniel and their family. And so to close, he recorded a video that he sent us yesterday. And we're like, oh, we gotta show this to everybody. So the video you're gonna see is all the people in Mozambique, the different pastors and ministries or things that we were able to support with those extra funds. They got the money yesterday and then they wanted to send a video to say thank you. So.
Catalyst family, Pastor Gary, Pastor Ross, Pastor Kyle, and all the Catalyst family, greetings from Mozambique. We are so happy and glad to address you this short video. We just want to send our appreciation to you. We are here together with Pastor Bila, Pastor Soda, Pastor Joseph, Apostle Vasco, and Moyana's family. We are all here. We also have a representation of ambassadors and leader here. So we are all here just to give a brief and very short expression of thanksgiving for all that you have done to us by offering a special gift to each and everyone. We are all thankful for the gifts, and we feel so much blessed. We have received the funds, and we have addressed the funds to each one as we gathered together here to address to each one. So we are thankful, very thankful, and our prayer, Apostle Vasco's prayer, is that may the Lord bless you and remember you in all that you are doing for the family in Mozambique. And Pastor Bila's words as well are words of gratitude. He expresses gratitude and thanksgiving to you all for this gifting. May the Lord bless you. So this expression is for all of us here. Pastor Joseph, Pastor Soda, we are all thank you so much. May God bless you.
Muito obrigado.
Oh, look at this again.
So Garrett's going to just do a little quick wrap-up. He's going to do a thank you for us.
Yeah, so just to close this time, it is really on my heart just to thank everybody. Well, because this trip is impossible without all of you. Right? All the ways that you supported us, it really made everything possible. We were treated like family on board, and obviously you are all our family here too, and so we know that all the stuff that we experience out there is not just for us. The stuff that we experience is anything to keep to ourselves. We know that God allowed us to experience it for us, but also to share. And so that's part of why we wanted to do this service, to share with all of you, all that you made possible. And so as a team, we all like to thank you. But for me, you know, something that's been on my heart since the very beginning was that you all went with us. That's something that I hope you're able to experience and hear from us throughout this whole service, but also I just want to share about myself because, you know, for me, I wouldn't have gone on this mission trip if not for everybody here. You know, I'm blessed enough to have grown up in this church, and by going here and by knowing all of you, I've grown in my identity, I've grown in knowing God and knowing myself. I've grown in the love that, you know, I have for God, and that getting to know more of what He has for me. And so I just really wanted to express that, you know, this is me, at least for me, it was impossible for me to go if not for all of you. And so really I just want to say thank you. Yeah, because I had an amazing time. It was fun, yeah, but it was good. It was really good to see how God was moving out there. It was really good to experience it in a way that, you know, I couldn't do it out here. And so, you know, growing up in the church, right, you all have an impact on me, whether you have interacted with me much or not. Just to see all of you on a Sunday morning wanting to be with the Lord, it's such a blessing. And so I just want to say thank you. For all of us on the team, right, it's impossible for us to go without all of you. That service that we led, you know, our heart was right to serve you, but I was totally blessed. When you were up here and you guys were all coming up to pray for us, it was like that. There wasn't a moment where somebody wasn't praying for us, and that's just how catalyst is. And so, as many times as I can say it, thank you. And so, just to wrap up, I want to pray, and, you know, we can have a worship team come on up, but really, thank you so much for making this all possible. And so, yeah, let me pray. Father, thank you so much for the service, Lord, this trip, and all that you've done to lead up to it. God, you are good, and thank you so much, God, that you have blessed everybody here. And so, God, I just pray over every heart, Lord, that everyone be open to what you are doing. Lord, that you have opened my heart, you have opened the heart of everybody on this team, God, to say yes and to go. Lord, I just pray that you bless everybody. Lord, that we need to go to the complete opposite side of the world and do something here, Lord. I just pray that we may be empowered to do it, not by our own selves, but in you. And so, Lord, I pray for confidence in the things that we are able to do, Lord, that you are in us. And so, God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for what you have done. Thank you so much that we were able to go, Lord, and that you made it possible for everybody here. And so, Lord, I pray that each heart was blessed, Lord, because we were, and you made that possible. And so, God, you are a God that does impossible things. And so, Lord, I pray that we are open to receive you. And so, God, I just thank you so much. Without you, nothing is possible. And so thank you that you are with all of us. So I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service.
Yeah, so,
hope you will join us in person sometime. It'll be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.